We're turning to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, we're starting with a little bit of a faster pace. It's very tempting to just cover the first 9 verses, but we're covering the whole chapter, and it is a glorious part of God's Word. You know that there are some books of the Bible that are named after a person. Not every book of the Bible. There are some books of the Bible that are named after a person. This person in particular is following the death of Moses. Is looking back to Deuteronomy 34, a chapter that it would be good to read because it helps you to understand the setting into which this book occurs. The book of Judges begins with the death of Joshua, and there are other books that begin with the death of a person. This book begins with the death of Moses, a very important figure in the history of redemption. And so the people of God are looking to see what's going to happen next. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan, toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do. Whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever be he that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. The true God. The book of Joshua is a continuation of something that was being fulfilled in the time of Moses. But there was one aspect of the promise given to Abraham that was being fulfilled through the time of Moses that Moses was not permitted to experience. the entering into the land. We're told this specifically in Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy 34, a passage which I would encourage you to read. It speaks of Moses being the only prophet whom the Lord knew face to face. Moses, the great servant of the Lord. He's called that because he has a particular place in the history of redemption. The Lord spoke to him face to face. And yet Moses was not going to enter the land. Part of the promise given to Abraham was that the land would be given. In Genesis 15, God made it very clear. There would be a period of time, and the iniquity of the enemies of God's people would fill up, and then they would be given the land. And that's what's happening in the book of Joshua. And the people of God mourn the death of Moses. But God had already begun to raise up Joshua. He was there in the battle against Amalek. Joshua was the one who stayed in the tent. Joshua was the one who Moses actually gave him his name. His name used to mean salvation or deliverer, Hosea. But Moses changed it to include Jehovah's name. Jehovah is salvation. Numbers, I believe, 13, 16. The point is that the name of Joshua shows us the way in which the land is going to be conquered. Jehovah is salvation. It's the Lord's land to give. And it's the Lord's land to give to these people. The book of Joshua actually can be divided into about four main sections. And these four main sections are actually unpacked for us in verses 2 to 5 by the language that's there. In verse 2, God says that they are to go over the Jordan into the land. They're to pass over. And that's chapters 1 to 5 of the book of Joshua. And then they are to take the land, as it says in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon that I have given to you, as I said unto Moses. And then he unpacks the geography of that place. Or to divide the land. So chapter 6 to 12 are taking the land, and chapters 13 to 21 are dividing the land. And then they are to serve the Lord in this land, chapters 22 to 24. This is the great outline of the book of Joshua, and it's already given to us in these verses. As verse 5 says, there shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Joshua and the people of God will take the land. It will belong to them. It's the land of promise. They will enter the land and they will receive the inheritance. And then Joshua, at the end of his life, in chapter 24 and verse 29, will be called the servant of the Lord. But only then. All the way throughout the book of Joshua, Moses is called the servant of the Lord. Moses is called the servant of the Lord here. Moses, the servant of the Lord. The servant of the Lord isn't with us. But Joshua has been raised up. You see, what's really needed in order for the land to be given is for the Lord to be with his people. And he demonstrates that in the book of Joshua. Joshua is very important. He is one that the Lord speaks to, verse 1 tells us, but he's called Moses' minister. There's a careful distinction made between Joshua and Moses in this book. Moses is the servant of the Lord. It's repeated again and again and again. Joshua is Moses' minister. But Joshua is hearing the Lord, and the Lord is the one who's giving this land, and he's promised to give this land all the way back in the time of Abraham. In Genesis 12, Genesis 15, he's unpacked the promise of giving this land. This land that is a picture of something that is yet ahead of the people of God. As the New Testament begins to unpack for us what our inheritance looks like, we're going to understand the full scope of what is being revealed to us in these Old Testament pictures. As this land, a physical land, is given to the people of God in a promise that was made long before through Joshua, through Moses. You see, God is able to provide the fulfillment of his promises through the next one. Moses is not his only servant. Joshua, Moses' minister, will bring about the means by which the people of God are led into the land. Because Jehovah is salvation. Because Jehovah saves. And that name, Joshua, Jehovah is salvation, is the name that reminds us of the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus, that's his name because he will save his people from their sins. The salvation that comes from God, the gift of the land given by God's promise and by God's presence, is showing us the power of God and his faithfulness to his promises. Even when the servant of the Lord is no longer in the picture. Moses, my servant, is dead, God says. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Moses was not allowed to enter the land. But now it's time. It's time for the people of God to receive that which they have been promised. Now God said to Abram that he was going to have a seed and that he was going to be a blessing to the nations. And those promises have already begun to be unpacked and fulfilled. But there's one piece missing. The land. The promised land. And God has decided that in this time he is going to enable the people of God to cross the Jordan and to take the land, to divide it up and to serve him in the land. Through Joshua, the one whose name means Jehovah is salvation. Look at what he says. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. God had made a promise. He stated it to Moses, and the language of the book of Joshua, if you read it carefully and you compare it to earlier parts of Scripture, is exactly the same as many passages in the book of Deuteronomy. In fact, some people go so far as to say Joshua is included in a group of books that are the Deuteronomistic history. In other words, the pattern of the book of Deuteronomy is unpacked in the book of Joshua. They are living according to the blessings and curses that were revealed in Deuteronomy. They are living out what God promised through Moses. And so Moses' successor, the one who's going to enter the land, Joshua, is receiving the very same words that God gave to Moses. And now he's passing them on to the next generation. Now this generation, you might remember the history. If you look at the book of Numbers, if you look at what was taking place in the book of Numbers, it's actually Numbers 13, 16, and I was trying to think of before. In that book, Joshua and Caleb go to spy out the land. But the people of God don't think they can enter it. And so there's a period of waiting. But guess who is involved in the entering into the land? Joshua! The one who spied out the land in the first place. The one whose name was changed by Moses to Jehovah is salvation. God is the one who brought that about. With the next generation, the people that had to wander longer because they weren't ready to trust God to receive the inheritance of the land. But God had his timing, and so he says something that unpacks the fullness of what he had told Moses was going to be the scope of the land. in verse 4. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. You can read Numbers 34 to read some of the geography of this place. But this is what God is saying. This is the land. The land that is given to you. And then he makes more promises. He makes it abundantly clear. He's telling Joshua that he is going to have his presence, and he has his promise ahead of time. And he's very specific about it. He's already said, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that I have given unto you. That's pretty specific. And then he says, in verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Joshua, Moses' minister, receiving from God victory instructions. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. What is it that causes the land to be given? First of all, God's promise. But next, his presence. God is with the people of God. He's with them through Joshua. He is with them to the end. Does that remind you of anyone? What was it that the Bible said in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus' name meant? God with us. Emmanuel. And how does Jesus unpack the meaning of his name as he gives the Great Commission to his church? Well, let me read it to you. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Joshua is told that God will be with him, that he will not fail him or forsake him, that he will not have any man be able to stand against them all the days of his life. And then Jesus Christ, in the fulfillment of that promise of God's presence, says, I will be with you always. All the way, all the time, to the very end, when I come back and bring you home. You see what Joshua was hearing here. The great confidence that Joshua had in taking the land, the great knowledge that he had of God's fulfillment of his promises, is your heritage too. The Lord Jesus Christ says in the Gospels that you are more than servants, you are friends. And he says, I am with you always. Commission that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his church to spread the gospel around the world has the promise of his presence. So when we read the book of Joshua, we're not just reading an allegory, a story that means something else, so we jump immediately to Jesus Christ. But if you don't hear the echoes of what Jesus Christ has already said to you, you're not seeing the trajectory. The trajectory is from the promise given to Abram, the promise that began to be fulfilled through Moses of having offspring and a blessing to the nations, and now the land through Joshua, because God is with his people. And then when Jesus Christ comes and his name means God with us, Emmanuel, and he says, I am with you always. And all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Then we know with assurance that all the people that Jesus Christ came to save will be saved. He is going to conquer the world, the flesh, and the devil. And he is going to conquer the world, flesh, and the devil by his presence in the church. So Joshua is a picture of the work of Jesus Christ. But yet, this is real history. One of the reasons that we chose this account is because it's a history. It's a narrative. It unfolds. There's exciting stuff that happens. Yeah, there's a lot of names when they start dividing up the land. We'll have to deal with entire chapters at that point. You might have to be a little patient as we read the names of all the people that received the inheritance that God promised all the time from the time of Abraham. But it's an action book. It's an action book because God is bringing about the fulfillment of that which he promised. He promised, and he's doing it. And you see, that's the way it is with God. When he makes a promise, he fulfills it. It's that simple. So he tells Joshua in verse 6, "Be strong and of a good courage." Well, by the time we get to this verse, if we think that Joshua simply has to sit down and meditate upon courage, like the Cowardly Lion and the Wizard of Oz, think about courage. We're missing the point. It's God's promise. It's God's very specific promise. It's God's presence. It's the fact that Moses was given the same language, and the people who are going to follow Joshua have already been prepared by Moses. We'll find that out at the end of the chapter. Joshua is told to be strong and of good courage because there shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. God has made a promise. The inheritance is to be given to the people of God. They're going to divide up the land. That's chapters 13 to 21. You already know that it's going to happen. Joshua already knows it's going to happen. And he's told to be strong and of good courage. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. There's warfare involved. There's going to be disobedience and unfaithfulness. There's a massive group of people that are being called upon to go into a battle zone. Men, women, and children. Be strong and of good courage, he says. Only be thou strong and very courageous, he says it again, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. That's an amazing statement. I thought he was going to say, be strong and of good courage because you're going to be in battle against pagan people. You know how bloodthirsty they are. But that's not what he says next. What he says is, be strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, thy servant, commanded thee. Be strong and be courageous so that you can be faithful to God's law. Joshua. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The way to conquer the land, Joshua, is to follow my words, to follow the law that I gave to Moses. This is Deuteronomistic history. It's the blessings and curses from Deuteronomy. The people of God are supposed to be obedient. And in order for them to be obedient, their leader has to be following the law of God. This is the pattern for the Israel's kings. They have to be following the law of God. And we find out, don't we, throughout the history of redemption, that the one who is truly faithful, the one who truly follows the law of God, the one who has the law of God inside of him all of the time, is Jesus Christ. But Joshua, this type, this picture of Jesus Christ, this one who's pointing forward to him on a trajectory, is going to receive the grace of God to follow in the pattern that was laid out through Moses when God talked to face to face, and not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Steady. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You know how the people who learned the Jewish Bible meditated? Back when they had the scriptures in their language, in a scroll, they mumbled. They repeated the word of God again and again and again, out loud. It's worth considering. It's worth considering if it's something that will show you the reason that you don't have to be afraid. Because that's what Joshua was given, the law to meditate upon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Not just meditate on it, but carry it out so that it becomes part of you. You see, Joshua is a picture of Jesus Christ. He's an earthly picture, but he's a picture of Jesus Christ. He's to be faithful through and through. He has to meditate upon the law like the person in Psalm 1. And Joshua is to carry it out. This is going to be, you see, holy war. This is the type of battle that requires the people of God to be holy. It requires their leader to be holy, set apart, meditating upon the law of God, carrying it out, listening to his promise fulfilled specifically, recognizing his presence. That's how the land will be taken. It's not because Israel has this new technology. All of a sudden, you know, God gave them a jet from the future. No. He gave them the old familiar thing. But the thing that comes from heaven, his revelation. The same revelation that we've been given. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And then he makes it clear, he asks this question. Have I not commanded thee? It is a command, Joshua. You might be the one who's leading the people of God into warfare, but do you have a commander? The commander will show up in chapter 5. And it's the living God, even as he's expressed in a pre-incarnate picture through the Lord Jesus Christ. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He keeps saying it. Be strong, because I'm with you. The one who promised to give the land, the one who's able to give the land, the one who has laid out the boundaries of the land, the one who said that every place that your foot will tread, you're going to possess. This is the giving of the land, the receiving of the inheritance. to Joshua is not to be afraid. What's there to fear? Well, you might think, well, first of all, the big people in the land that he already saw in Numbers, when he and Caleb said, we can surely do this because the Lord's with us. But there's other things that Joshua could fear. There's a group of people that have already made an agreement with Moses in Numbers 32 that they are not going to go across the Jordan. They have found a place that is good for livestock, good for cattle raising, and they want to stay there. And the agreement was, okay, you can stay here. This can be your land, your inheritance, but you have to go help us fight. And the issue for Joshua is, what if they don't follow me? They follow Moses. What if they don't follow me? Joshua commands the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess. You have to have officers, because there's an extremely large group of people, and they're going to get ready to go into the land in 3 days. That's not much time. They need officers to help them get ready. And then he addresses this group of people, and I mentioned before, and to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember Moses. He goes right to it. Remember the servant of the Lord, the one that you heeded, the one you listened to, the one who made this agreement with you, that you could stay in this great land for raising cattle. But you have to fight on the other side of the Jordan. He needs them with him, because Israel needs to be united. This is holy war. Joshua needs to be courageous because the people of God need to be united. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. You see the point. They're already experiencing the rest that God was talking about, the rest of having their inheritance in the land that they've been given. It's not the other side of the Jordan, but it's the land that they found was good. And it was agreed upon that they could raise their livestock, their cattle there. They've been given rest. Why should we go and fight over there? Well, because you've been listening to Moses, and Joshua is hearing the same words as Moses. And so Joshua refers to Moses. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. He's making a military statement to this group of people. But it's already been agreed upon. They've already agreed to it in Numbers 32. He's calling them to be true to their word. God has been true to his word. But they need to be true. Until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. He mentions Moses three times. He mentions that the Lord God gave this land. He mentions that they have rest, but their brothers don't. He's talking to them about oneness. He's talking to them about unity. He's talking to them about holy war and the terms that it needs to be fought on. And these are lessons for us, the people of God, who've been taught by the Lord Jesus Christ about oneness. about the kind of battle that we're fighting, about the kind of relationship that we have with our brothers and sisters in this battle, which involves a big commission. And so, what do these people say? Well, forget about it. I'm from New Jersey. You're from Pennsylvania. I'm on this side of the Jordan. You're on that side of the Jordan. No way am I going to fight for you so you can have a little piece of land when I've got cattle to raise over here and women and children. No, they've already agreed. The people of God are united. This is the way that this battle is going to be won. The times when they win are the times when they're united. The times when they're following Joshua and they're following what God says through Joshua. The times when they are in line with God's promise to give them. So verse 16, they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we have hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. That's their great desire. That God would be with Joshua, as he's already promised he's going to be. But they recognize that God was with Moses. And they want to see that work out with Joshua. Then they're willing to fight. And some of the battles are going to be unusual. God is going to ask them to fight in unusual ways. Because he's the one who's winning. But they make this statement in verse 18. Whosoever be he that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. They say the same thing to Joshua that God says, be strong and of good courage. But they take holy war seriously. If someone's going to rebel, they're going to be put to death. The people of God are supposed to be together, united, and visibly holy. But you know, the book of Joshua, even though we've already seen the pattern of it here in this first chapter, it's a great introduction to the entire pattern of the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua is full of victory, full of holy war that is successful, full of unity, but there are also reminders that the people of God are already starting to become faithless again. What is needed in order to keep the people of God together, to make them holy, to make them able to trust in God's promises, to give them the courage that he has answered their need with a promise that he made many years before, is the work of Jesus Christ. This is the greater Joshua. The one who's able to tell his own people to be of good courage. To tell his own people that there is a place prepared for them. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Lord Jesus Christ unpacks the fact that there is inheritance ahead for God's people. He tells his disciples not to be afraid. He's about to go to the cross. They're about to scatter because evil is going to be coming out of the woodwork. A kind of holy war that the disciples are not ready for. We see this promise is not simply for the disciples alone. It's for all of us. The one whose name means God with us says that he's preparing a place. A place for you. A place that is your inheritance. A place where you will be one. As we ought to be now, but in a much greater way. A place where you will be holy. As you ought to be growing now, but in a much greater way. A place that is ahead. A place that has been promised long ago. But a place that is being personally prepared by the greatest warrior the world will ever see. The one who took on the devil. The one who took on the sin of all of the church upon himself and suffered under it in order to deliver God's people. The one who says he's preparing a place where you can say, I am home. A place where you admire, worship, and appreciate all the battles that brought you there. But a place where those battles no longer need to be fought because rest has been won. That place is already being prepared. The rest is already being prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews tells us that there's a rest ahead. That's the rest that Jesus Christ is talking about.